What up, Long Beach? We're back for another weekly episode of the only show that updates you on our schools, their sports teams, and the community at large. As always, this show is part of our partnership with the Long Beach Post, and it's hosted by the 562.org, the Tripod, which is myself. I'm JJ.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Tyler, the third leg of the Tide Pod. And today we'll be joined by a very special guest, Lakewood Athletic Director and girls volleyball coach Mike Wadley, who's a fellow Yankee fan. But before we get to that interview, we want to pose the question of the day, and it revolves around sportsmanship. Is it dead? Is it on life support? Where is it right now in sports at all levels, guys?
Well, right now, Los Angeles sports has been incredibly successful, and it's kind of been hotter in the spotlight for them. We've dealt with the stories about LeBron leaving the court early, or the Dodgers having too much fun, quote-unquote, during these playoffs. And there's certainly a difference between our expectations of sportsmanship for a professional athlete and an amateur athlete. But I think we can all agree this is uncharted territory when it comes to the place for sportsmanship in sports. I mean, Mike, you're dealing with Vincent playing Little League Baseball right now. Like, the celebrations for Little League Baseball should be different than the celebrations for postseason baseball. But the postseason baseball celebrations, they will eventually change the way kids celebrate, right?
Yeah. Oh, now, first of all, JJ, Cal Ripken, you know, he's playing Cal Ripken baseball. So let's not get sued here with the Little League Cal Ripken crossover.
My bad.
I think it was the Dodgers. No. It was the official Little League World Series Twitter account today tweeted out the video of Cody Bellinger's home run at the Little League World Series. And they were like, oh, Cody Bellinger with a clutch home run in the World Series. Where have we seen that before? And it was the first thing I thought was like slightly different celebration in Little League, 10 years ago or whatever, where obviously he's just hit it and starts running right away or whatever. But I do think they're different and they should be different. I think that, we've talked about this subject several times. I think athletes, as always, are more entertaining, but also better when they get to be themselves. So, like, I don't think Barry Sanders should have been forced to do a silly team celebration because that's not who he was. And similarly, I don't think people should look at Juju Smith-Schuster and say, well, you have to hand the ball to the ref and run back to the sideline because that's not who he is. He wants to have fun and do a dance or do whatever else. So, similarly, like, I think what I want as a parent, because I don't tell my kids to look up to athletes. That's not who I want to be their role models. Like, I want them to have, maybe learn things from those athletes, but I don't want Vincent to see Cody Bellinger and go, I need to do everything that Cody Bellinger does. I want those guys to make sports cool and fun so that my kids feel like they're a part of something fun. And certainly the Dodgers have done that. And we'll see, if Vincent hits a home run, what his reaction is. But to be honest with
Vincent hits a home run.
Yeah, right. But to be honest with you, I mean, like so many things in sports, unless you see the narrative, if you're a 7-year-old kid watching the Dodgers like my son is, it has never occurred to him that anyone's doing anything that would bother anyone because it's just people having fun playing baseball. You know what I mean? I haven't told him like, no, if you hit a home run, you don't want to walk like that. It's just like he's seeing Cody Bellinger be awesome, and so that's what he wants to do. And if a coach tells him, hey, don't do that, then cool. That's what the coach is telling me to do, you know?
And give some of the teams credit for not making it a thing, for just allowing players to express themselves and have fun. I mean, there are certain exceptions, looking at you, Manny Machado, but I think the Dodgers-Braves series was a great – if you just looked at that series and you said – those guys were doing whatever they want. They were mixing it up. You know, the Braves had their hand signals going, Acuna and, Ozuna and Albies, like big personalities on that team. The Dodgers as well, Bellinger, Seager, and, all of it went into it. It's so much fun to see those guys letting loose and having fun and then not worrying about getting thrown at. And the pitchers weren't being brats about it and making this whole issue because at the end of the day, yeah, they celebrate after a big strikeout.
The pitchers are part of it. The Dodgers bullpen, some of those guys, I love seeing Gratterall celebrate. I mean, that guy goes nuts if he gets a third out. I love it. I mean, to me, that's so much more fun than, great, the guy's pretending he has a boring job, you know?
Yeah, as John Boy said on Twitter, it was a great follow. He said Gratterall is a showman. And I thought that was a great way to say it. He's just an entertaining figure in baseball. As a sport specifically, needs so many more of those kind of guys.
And you already said it, Mike. They need to be themselves, and the Dodgers were not themselves during that Padres series. And JT, Justin Turner, Long Beach born, LB in the MLB all the time, He called a team meeting and was like, guys, we need to bring our own energy. There's nobody in the stands. We're obviously the best team in baseball. We got to bring our own energy. And if you've watched Dodger baseball all year, you know this looks like a different team, a team having more fun and playing like themselves. And I think it's important at a time like this when we're deciding, is sportsmanship dead? Do we still have to, you know, doff our cap and shake hands and hand the ball to the referee or umpire and all that stuff?
Definitely don't shake my hands right now.
I think there's a difference between celebrating and taunting. And I think there's absolutely no place for taunting in sports. Now, if you are a running back and you're running into the end zone and you turn around and you scream at the defender after you score, that's taunting. And I don't think that belongs in sports. But if you turn around and you hand the ball to your offensive lineman and then they roll it down and the other offensive lineman fall like bowling pins and it's a team celebration, I think that stuff should be encouraged. As Jason Negro and Chad Johnson always said at St. John Bosco football, football is fun, not funny. You have fun with your teammates and you never laugh at someone else's expense. It's important to set an example like that. And I agree, sports should not be a role model. Not just athletes, just sports in general shouldn't be a role model. But it should reflect the best of us because that's what we want to watch, people at their best.
I was thinking about this recently. You know, there have been a lot of articles and studies done about it's so expensive to play youth sports now. People our age, and especially the people who are broadcasters who are 30 years older than us, need to understand that the role of sports has changed completely in society. Kids don't play sports together for fun the way that they did when we were kids, or certainly the way they did 60 years ago. They play video games for fun.
Do you think they should, though?
Well, but here's the thing. I don't think when I was Vincent's age, I cared what my dad wanted me to be doing for fun, right? Like, I wanted to do the stuff that was fun that my friends and I enjoyed doing together. And it is always the case, if you look at esports, which are currently growing at a rate that basketball and baseball would kill people to have the growth rates that they do, it's because that's what young people are into. And there are none of these old stodgy conversations. You know, I mean, there's whole subcultures around the way kids make fun of each other when they win in Fortnite or they kill each other in Call of Duty or something, like, because it's just the fun kid thing that they're doing, you know what I mean? And that's kids down to young ages, but also up through high school and older. So part of it to me is that, like, I think we need to decide that. Is sports something that's a job you expect your kid to do because you're spending money and you want them to get a scholarship? Or is it something they're doing for fun? In which case, as JJ said, you know, like, what do you want them to learn from it, right?
Yeah, you want to learn something good, I would hope. You would want to learn something that would make you a better person off the field or off the court. I think that's the point of amateur sports. It should be fun, but there should also be a bunch of life lessons learned.
No, absolutely. And I think that what we've seen, especially, you know, in such a diverse community like Long Beach, is that sports can definitely bring different people together. And then you go on the road and you play other teams that come from very different backgrounds, you know? And
I'd just like to note that my son is dressed, wearing a Spider-Man mask, dancing in the background as we're having this conversation. So
yeah. Showing some great sportsmanship.
Terrific sportsmanship, you know, but he's not taunting us, so it's fine. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a great way to, you know, to earn that mutual respect, you know, and it's like, it goes beyond just watching Remember the Titans, you know. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of that that can happen in sports, and it's respecting your opponent and all that, but you can still respect your opponent and celebrate with your teammates, because dang, you put a lot of time in and a lot of effort, and you don't know which touchdown or which home run is going to be your last, and you better celebrate it. And there's nothing wrong with hyping up your teammates, or a lot of people, especially at the professional level, can make money off of their personalities and having celebrations. You know, Juju is a great example of that. LaDainian Tomlinson had the flip that he would do after every touchdown that became a thing. I mean, Jamal Anderson, I still remember him because he was the Dirty Bird. You know, I mean, it's a business, and this is a way to brand yourself, and people like seeing people have fun. It's exciting. It's unpredictable. You never know what Juju's going to do after he scores a touchdown. That's part of the allure, you know?
But to JJ's point, I mean, I think that's exactly it. Like, if my son beats his sister in a race or something, you know, I would never tell him, like, don't thump your chest or jump up and down or be excited. But I would say, like, don't make jokes about how much you won, or, you know, like, laugh in someone's face or whatever else. And I wouldn't say – I'm a little bit less rigid on that than JJ. I do think there are some places where – stuff like that can happen in pro sports. And, you know, like, if the Lakers and Clippers had gotten to play in the Western Conference Finals, and there's a rivalry or even an off-court thing, as we've seen, as we saw on the NFL field, right? You have Jalen Ramsey and someone who'd done wrong to someone in Jalen Ramsey's family. Like, sometimes I think that stuff is also part of what makes sports fun, right? But as a rule, I think that, yes, like, the difference between celebration and taunting is kind of where I would agree with JJ. That's where the line is to me.
Before we move on, I do want to shout out to all of the kids out there who are saying, well, I want to have fun. Now I'm more confused than when you started this segment. I will say this. Celebration, taunting, there's a difference there. But sportsmanship, you can use to your own advantage and play head games. For example, when I was playing JV football at Chaparral, we had a really good defense, and one of our first road trips was to Martin Luther King High School. And everybody on the defense decided the first quarter, every time you knock somebody down and you're on top of them, help them up. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to make a big show of it, but you put your hand out and you help them up for the first quarter only. When the second quarter came, my friend John laid the quarterback out, and the quarterback put his hand up, and John just turned around and walked back to the huddle. We had won the game. We had won the mental battle. We were already ahead, and it was over. And we absolutely thumped them in the second half. You could use sportsmanship to your advantage as well. Anything's possible in sports, and I think that's why we tune in every week.
The weather's starting to cool off, but it's still barbecue season. I know my wife and I got Naples Brew Company last week. We try and get it a couple times a month, and it always makes the day better whenever we can get down to 2nd Street. Get it. We do the to-go order. We like to, we're still eating at home. We're not really doing the restaurant thing yet. They do have a great outdoor dining setup that also has televisions if you want to go and watch a Dodgers game and enjoy the best barbecue in the city. But definitely get down to Naples Rib Company, and definitely please tell them that the 562.org sent you.
We are now joined by our special guest for the week, the athletic director and girls volleyball coach at Lakewood High School, our guy, Mike Wadley. Wads, how you doing over there, sitting in a classroom all by yourself?
Sitting in a classroom all by myself. I'm a big loser. I have lunch by myself every day. Some days I do have breakfast with Coach Meyer. We do a Thursday's breakfast, him and I and a couple of the coaches. So we do that. But other than that, you're pretty much on your own.
I did want to ask you about that. First of all, I mean, we're starting all of our interviews by just kind of like checking in with people. Like, how are you doing? I mean, you normally have a job where you're seeing your coworkers all the time and there's kids, and you obviously, as a coach and an athletic director, have, you know, a good relationship with the kids and the student body and everything. So, you know, how are you doing? I mean, it is a weird time. There's so much isolation for all the teachers and coaches.
It is. And you know what? I'm doing fine. I mean, for me personally, the district has done a good job about sending out the motivational stuff and all that, and that's been really good. But for me personally, I'm very happy I have a job. I'm very happy that I have benefits. I'm very happy. I'm blessed to be here at Lakewood now for 26 years. We have a great school. We have great people that work here. Our new principal, Mona Merlot, has been amazing. So, I mean, my athletics administrator, Chris Thompson, is just off the chart. So, I mean, it's for me personally, I'm doing great. You know, I try to get the kids involved every day. Fridays, we do breakfast. We don't call it breakfast. So we do breakfast. My first class, they all bring breakfast. They all bring it online and we share it. And then in the afternoon, we bring snack. So we bring snack and they all bring it. So it's been pretty cool. I've been trying to think outside of the box for the kids. It's tough for the kids. I mean, I can see that. You know, for Jared, my youngest, he's struggling a little bit. But realistically, it's been okay. For me personally, it's been okay.
Yeah, checking on the kids is probably the number one thing you're doing every day. Those students, are you seeing them struggling with just having to be on their computer all the time? Or are they struggling not being able to interact with each other? What's the biggest struggle for them?
The biggest struggle is getting the and I got onto it pretty quick, was they're at home. So I had one student, you know, he didn't answer, and he wasn't online. So I just asked him. So he left, and then I put him in a breakout room and I talked to him. Probably said, what's going on? And he goes, sorry, Mr. Wild, my mom's got me doing chores. So I said, oh, no, I get it. You're at home. So those are things that you got to realize, like, you're at home. They're at home. And so right. When they're at home, mom and dad are like, well, one of my students, she's got 9 siblings. So I'm like, wow. And her older brother was in my class last year. So how do you deal with that? So I'm kind of going slow, getting them to be involved. The online thing has been, it's hard for them to talk on a camera. That's been a little different there than they would in the classroom. So I do discussion boards, and I do a discussion board almost every day with them. And they, they write, they've been doing really well. I got like 95% of kids doing it, the discussion board, which has been really fantastic. So just got to think outside the box, you know, and get them involved. And that's all I've been trying to do.
It is a weird dynamic you just mentioned. And my wife who teaches at Jordan has made the same point. Like usually, you know, there's a lot of upsides and a lot of downsides to being a teacher, but one certainty is like, you're the king or the queen of your classroom, right? You're like, I'll put the rules up and here's what the rules are. And she goes, well, how do I tell a kid you're not allowed to chew gum in his bedroom? Right. You know, you know what I mean? Or how do I say, well, this is what I want you to be doing, you know, at this time. And they go, well, this is not what my mom wants. It's like, well, you're at home, so your mom is the boss. I mean, you know, it is a very weird dynamic there with sort of who's in charge at a given
time. The part that I love the most when they say, Mr. Wiley, they'll text me in the chat, Mr. Wiley, can I go to the bathroom? Like, yeah, no, you can go to the bathroom in your own house. It's okay. You don't have to wait.
Right. Yeah, that's what, right. Shar said the same thing. She goes, I can't tell you to not go to your bathroom.
I tell them, just go put a little coffee thing and let me know that you're leaving, whatever. And when you come back, you come back. This is not the end of the world. Right. Let's treat it like that. Like, let's take this with a grain of salt here, you know? And we've been very, very good about this whole thing. You know, Jared's, cause you know, JP's got heart disease. So we actually had first time as a family, we went out to dinner to Cotella Deli. Cause you know, we live next to Cotella Deli. So that felt pretty good, sitting in a restaurant for the first time. You know, we've been real cognizant, you know, with my dad being sick and all that. So I had to make sure I was not around anybody. So there was a lot of stuff that we had to take care of, you know, and we did. So I felt we'd come through with it pretty good.
Now that we kind of can see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit with the stuff being scheduled in January, you as an athletic director, how are you dealing with this scheduling? Are you already working on when you need stuff, where you need stuff? I mean, I can't even imagine how many things you've got in the air right now.
It's crazy because like right now we have nowhere to put like the COVID fall. You got boys and girls volleyball. That's going to work out okay. You have gymnastics where, you know, I don't have space for them. So they're going to the YMCA. We have the gymnastics YMCA here and they've got their own room. So that made it a little bit easier. Cross country, boys, girls, cross country. So that's fine. That's outside. It's a little different, but the spring is going to be crazy. You know, I've got 12 teams sharing two fields. We're not going to have a field. So where am I going to put, I'm trying to get lights put in, not permanent lights, but lights put in on the baseball field and hopefully the softball field. So we can at least have practice at night. Where does baseball go or softball go during football season when they're practicing? So remember the old motorcycle game is like in television and you keep going over the hill and there's another hill behind it. You're like, oh, I got this. There's another one behind it. So we've been okay. And we get the coaches to understand. It's like, this is not we gotta be accepting of certain things. We can't just do what we normally do every year. We gotta give a little. So that's where, a part of that has been, that's where it's kind of been the biggest struggle.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this, you know, a few months back when we wrote about, I wrote a story about the field challenges that you guys were going to be facing. What's the sort of the teamwork been amongst all the schools? I mean, I know you're going to be playing or planning to be playing games at Wilson and at Millikan and stuff. So, you know, what's that working relationship been like with all the ADs and, you know, with the district and everything in the league, just trying to make everything work? Just describe how that process has gone to everybody help everybody else.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm on a text chain with Jeff at Wilson and Rob and Kevin. And this has been the last couple of years now. And those guys are some cool dudes, man. And we get along so amazingly well. If we need something, we ask, we throw it out there, you know, and where we can go and what we can do. So that's been really good. And we always make fun of each other. It's funny because Kevin and I probably talk the most to each other, but we're both Wilson guys talking about each other's school. So that's the best part. Like, it's playful banter. If we're in a more league meeting and something goes wrong, I always blame Millikan. It's always going to be Millikan. But then Kevin will always say, well, Lakewood did this. Yeah, we did. You're right. I mean, but it just keeps going. And it's so much fun. And that's what makes it easier is being able to have those professional/personal relationships where we're able to schedule those things. Cause that was kind of tense there trying to figure out where we're going to play football. And it worked out. It worked out really well. Jeff was very accommodating. So was Kevin, there's a chance we may have the first football game at home because they may not be doing the field. They're going to start in the middle of January. So January 8th, we play Mayfair. Well, Well, how cool would that be for our football team to play at Lakewood January 8th, senior night, to be the last team in Lakewood history to play on the grass field?
That'd be awesome.
So make it happen. It's going to happen. You know, give these kids a great piece of history.
Hey, guys, take some dirt. Take some dirt. Well, take some dirt. That's all we got on the field. Take some dirt with you. Take some cement, you know?
We'll do a highlight video, and I'll put, like, the greatest moments that we've seen on that field before the highlight video. A little bit of Scroggins, a little bit of Erno, you know, get a little shout-out to those guys. That would be great. You know, you mentioned the Moore League meeting. You've actually got that later today. We're recording this on a Wednesday. So what's on the docket, I mean, other than everything? What are you guys trying to deal with today?
I think today it's going to be one of the discussions we've talked about is transportation. I mean, there's no money. I mean, that's the thing, and we know that. We're not pointing any fingers at anybody. There's no money. And I've told all my coaches that, you know, there's no money.
That's our job. Your job is to find the buses. Our job is to point fingers at who's created the situation where there's no money at a time when there's going to be 40 games a week going on.
But I got to tell you, and it's, we're going to have sports. I feel so confident we're going to have it. And it is going to be so much fun to cover everything. We're going to be running around everywhere. I mean, I was just, you know, I'm putting the calendar up on our website, the school website for sports right now and stuff. And I just, all this stuff that's going on, it's going to be a blast. We're going to have so much fun. You know, we're going to hope that never happens again. We don't want to have this much fun ever again, but it's going to be a blast. You know, I really feel good about that. But that, you know, there are some concerns about certain things. So that's why we've been telling our coaches, like, we got to fundraise. You know, we don't have what we normally would have. So hopefully we can have fans. If we can't, that's a big budget cut for us, you know. So just another hurdle. We'll deal with it.
Yeah, well, while you're at the meeting, also mention, you know, what's the media restriction going to be? Because if you guys can't have fans, we're going to be real important in a couple months, Mike.
I think that's going to be really big, and I'm going to think that that's going to be good to have you guys there. Because I've also worked on trying to find live streaming, ways of live streaming stuff. You know, that was part of our last meeting, what we were talking about. Maybe, you know, trying to say, hey, if we can get like a company that wants to deal with us and if, you know, we could do some live streaming, stuff like that. I think that's going to be good too. If parents can't be there, and I get it. I mean, we want to see our kids. I mean, we want to see your kid have the senior year. We just went through this last year. So let's see what we can do to get some people in the stands. And if not, you guys are going to be integral in that. That's going to be big.
Oh, no doubt we're going to be spread out.
We're mobilizing a freelance army for sure. You know, no one will ever have seen anything like it. You know, I mean, I was just talking to the Cabrillo coach about that. He's like, I've got Polynesian football players trying to decide between boys volleyball and football. It's just going to be exactly what you said. I mean, I look at that schedule sometimes professionally, as I'm sure you do, I get a little bit intimidated by it, right? Like, how the hell are we supposed to, you know, do this and not have everyone mad at us that we're not covering enough? But really, just given the way the last 7 months has gone and all the conversations we've had with the kids about their struggles, that's all I keep thinking about is just, this is going to be so much fun rolling from a volleyball match straight to a basketball, you know, all the different things that are going to happen that have never happened. And to be honest with you, and I'll pat ourselves on the back a little bit, but I think it's so good that, as you just said, you and Jeff and Rob and Kevin, you know, we have athletic and Calvin at Compton as well. You know, you guys have all been athletic directors for a really long time. And I'm happy that we exist as well, that, you know, JJ and I have been covering sports in Long Beach for 13 years now. And Tyler's been with us for about half that. Like, I'm really glad for the kids here that there are adults who have seen enough stuff to be able to roll with these punches. Because it's going to be a real interesting 6 months.
The spring is going to be off the hook. And I'm coaching club. And it's ironic. I'm coaching with the Los Al coach. Him and I are coaching a team together. So
oh,
it's
my.
Like, yeah, it's a lot of fun, actually. I'm his assistant coach. I'm not the head coach. It's the best thing ever, being an assistant coach.
I want to be a fly on the wall of those meetings.
Yeah,
I want to hear you guys trading secrets. I mean, if you're really preparing for the season, your practices for your girls' volleyball practices there at Lakewood have to be pretty intense, right? Because if this were, what, June or July, you'd be putting them through some tough stuff to get them prepared for the season.
Yeah, we haven't done anything. A lot of the girls are playing club. Well, they're all playing club. And since club has started, we're not, you know, we can't use balls anyway. Club is different. It's a different entity. So they can do whatever they want to do. We can't do that. So we haven't brought any balls out yet. We condition twice a week for an hour. We don't want to overdo it. We feel like they're all playing club now as it is. We're not going to beat a dead horse. I'm not going to do that. So we, you know, our schedule that we have this year, we have no Friday matches, which you would normally do. I couldn't do the Volley Fest this year just because of everything that's going on. So we're not going to skip this year. We're just not going to have it this year, and then we'll have it next year. But you know, we have some exciting matches that I was able to put together, but we're playing a lot. And one of them came up yesterday is there's a big club tournament out during the President's Weekend, which we knew there'd be a conflict. A lot of the girls would be going out to Kansas City. Well, that would be almost my whole team. And we play Wilson that Thursday. Well, Carlos is going too. So we talked, and we're going to move the match. Because it just makes sense. We got to do stuff like that. I mean, it's just we got to know that these kids can play club at the same time. A lot of clubs aren't going to be doing a lot of practice. Like my club, we're not going to be doing a lot of practicing during that time anyway. And there's also the Sunday association rule. So when you go to these tournaments, a lot of if you coach your own kids, you can't coach them on Sundays. So because it's still part of the season. When the season's over, then you can. So that's a big thing in our ears too. So we got to make sure we're doing that right as well.
What do you think the key to this crazy season is going to be? I mean, is it just going to be consistency or staying healthy? I'm sure the key to it is going to reveal itself while you guys are doing it. But have you guys planned for stuff like that? Like what you're going to need to do differently?
Yeah, I've got Adam is doing the strength training with them now. And he's so good with that. And so he's doing them. And a lot of our strength training is just, it's preventative. You know, so we have strength bands, we have jump ropes. They've been doing some type of conditioning, but there's a lot of stuff that they've been doing to prepare for that. So, so we've been doing that too. And I'm really proud of the way that he does it. He comes in with a practice plan, he's got him going, and I could see there's a big future for him. Once I'm done.
The Wadley family getting it done. Yeah. I love it. Now, before we let you go, Tyler is rocking his Yankee gear right now. The Hicks 31. We love it. LB and MLB all the time. And you brought the call on with Yankee Stadium in your background. So Tyler, Mike Wadley, why don't you guys just, you know, talk Yankees for a second?
No. The question is, what happened to the Yankees? We were all looking forward to the Dodgers Yankees World Series, and you know, only 50% of the bargain got held up. So don't enjoyably talk about it. Explain to us why we don't get Dodgers Yankees.
I'll take this one. I mean, I'll take it first anyway. But you know, we saw you know, as Dodgers fans, you guys saw what happened to the Braves, only having two real starting pitchers. Eventually came back to bite them in a long series. The Yankees took it one further by only having one starting pitcher. And so I think that's obviously the big area of focus is getting Severino healthy and just getting more pitching depth, which is what we're always looking for. The lineup's fine. The Rays are very good. That series was kind of a coin flip. The Rays are in the World Series. They didn't obviously have their best game in game one, but I do expect a competitive series. And
hopefully it was their best game.
Sure. But yeah, I mean, it's one of the lineup looked solid. I thought the Yankees played really well. I don't over-criticize Aaron Boone the way some fans do. I thought he was trying to really patchwork together a tough set of arms. So I'm not nervous. The Yankees will be fine next year. It's tough to win.
Yeah, and you know, I thought the Rays were just better than us. I mean, they beat us 8 out of 10 during the regular season. You know, I think that Sanchez got to either get to be a better catcher or not play catcher because he just can't catch a ball. So he hits. I thought they hit really well to start the season, and then kind of got that injury bug again. You know, Stanton was out for a little bit. Hicks was out for a little bit. Aaron was out for a little bit. So you got all these guys that are out. I mean, what do you do? I mean, Tampa Bay showed that they were the better team. I was happy it went five, and you know, they got Chappie in the ninth inning. I mean, it just reminded me of Houston again, but cheating Houston. But you know, and my kids, it's funny because Tom Bush, our golf coach, was texting me when the Dodgers won. He goes, "You really hate this right now, don't you?" I said, "No, I don't hate the Dodgers. I stopped watching it when they traded Piazza. I was done." I mean, I remember I said, I told my kids in class the other day, Tommy Lasorda, Ron Say, Davey Lopes, Steve Garvey were all at the Marie Callender's. I was little. I was 9 years old. And I was the only person that had the huevos to go up and talk to him and ask him for their autograph because I love the Dodgers. Oh, and I forgot, Steve Garvey, my favorite Dodger ever. So he was there. They were all there. I got an autograph and signed picture from Tommy Lasorda. you know, hey, Mike, hope you're here someday. And I was a huge Dodger fan. But when they traded Piazza, that was it. I was done. And I know that was a long time ago, but now I'm with the Yankees.
I was about to say, what about when they signed Mookie Betts?
Mookie Betts is a great – I mean, what makes it even greater being a Yankee fan is it really just punched the Red Sox right in the face.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're going to trade you, then we're going to sign a long-term deal with you. Boom, right in the face, right. Red Sox fans, you know.
I've been enjoying, as a Lakers-Dodgers fan, making fun of Red Sox you know, we transitioned seamlessly from making fun of the Celtics for only winning one NBA title in my lifetime to making fun of the Red Sox for managing their funds so that one day maybe they have the chance to sign someone who's not as good as Mookie Betts.
It was so confusing last night on the broadcast of Game 1 where they're like, you know, you just wonder how Boston wasn't able to keep Mookie Betts. And I'm screaming at the TV, guys, you didn't want to play there. It's a racist city and it's cold 300 days a year. I wouldn't want to play there either. I would just come to Los Angeles.
Well, yeah. You look at their one of their greatest players, and he hated living there. When he played basketball there, Bill Russell, he hated it. I mean, it's a known fact, you know. And I got family there. Sorry, family. I know you guys. My wife's got family there.
Oh, me too. But oh, me true. Too. I love visiting them.
It's totally true.
I just wear my layers and don't talk to people on the street. It's just you go about your life differently in the city that you live in.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we I think we hit everything: volleyball, AD, Boston bashing. Yeah. I think we're good. Thank you so much, Mike Wadley. We're coming on the show.
Who's winning the Moorleague Girls Volleyball Championship?
Oh, yeah, some predictions. I like it.
Well, Pauly, you know, they got some kids coming back. We got a lot of talent. We got a couple freshmen that are gonna start on the varsity this year. Both are 5'11". And really happy to have them. I think the next couple years, we've got four kids on the freshmen on the JV team. We're going to have really one senior is going to play, going to start. After that, it's going to be juniors and sophomores. So
I have a 13 year long tradition now with Mike Wadley of him telling me his team's not going to be, he's like, oh, we're not that good. You know, it's Polly's league this year. I don't think we have anything for Wilson this year. And then, you know, including the years where they didn't lose a set in the whole season, said the same thing. So,
no, I think the league, and you know what? And I want to throw this out there too. If Gabby Sonheimer didn't tear her ACL last year, there was a good chance they would have won league.
Well, yeah, Wilson.
At Wilson. Yeah.
If everyone had been healthy last year, that would have been a real, like, back to golden era, like, you know, 07, 08, just absolute crazy talent on every team for sure.
So I know Carlos has some talent. I know Milliken's got a new coach. So they got some talent. They got a couple of kids over there. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. It'll be different, you know, coaching against Megan. That's going to be a little different, but it'll be just like any other things. I mean, it's, you know, it'll be fun to have. We play them January 6th and January 28th. I already know.
But who's counting?
I'm not. Right. Yeah. You know, and I gotta tell you.
You know, it's weird, Juan. She knew those dates too when I talked to her.
Yeah, she knows. And we talk all the time. She actually wanted me to coach club with her next year. Her and I coached together. But I feel like after last year, the stuff that we went through as a family, you know, with my boys and Adam having his thing and my dad being sick, I feel like this year I'm a lot more focused. Kind of like the Simpsons in the beginning when the clouds open up. That's how I kind of feel like, you know, I have a better focus on things just because those things have been, you know, we've gone through that tunnel. So that feels a lot of
no doubt.
Well, veteran coach speak and awesome culture references. It's Mike Wadley at its finest. It feels like everything's back to normal. Thanks so much, Wads. We appreciate it, man. Take care. We'll see you soon.
You guys have a good one. Thanks.
With football season hopefully just around the corner at the high school level, we've been talking about the schedules for some teams around the city. We've already talked about Long Beach Poly's schedule, and we'll touch on a few more schools here today. Big news out of St. Anthony with the renovation project at Clark Field, which is set to break ground in 2021. That story is up on the 562.org. But, guys, let's whip around the Moore League and talk about some schedules for some football teams coming up this season. Fingers crossed, starting in January.
Well, we've got so many double dips I can't believe it. I'm so excited. So many times where local teams are playing local teams, and you can even lump in like Mayfair and Warren. We're not going to have to travel far for these roadies.
We have a La Mirada game with Milliken as well.
Well, I said we're not going to have to travel far. Local. Yeah, come on. La Mirada, you got to pack a canteen to get all the way out there.
You're both really shot out of a cannon to get that joke out.
Joe Biden takes the train to La Mirada. You know what I mean? It's a trek, my guy.
It's a hike. Pardon me.
But yeah, Milliken, Wilson, and Lakewood all play in local teams that we're really excited to see some familiar faces, even if they're not in the Moore League.
I love that. I mean, all of those coaches said the same thing to me that I always get when we ask about that. And Mario Morales at St. Anthony, the same thing. It's just, you know, they feel like the kids get so much more excited when, there's 500-something high schools in just the southern section, not even bringing in the city section or San Diego or something. And the reality is most people haven't heard of probably 450 of them. You know what I mean? So you're just going to get more excited to beat Warren, who's the next city over, or St. Anthony, who you have five friends that play for that football team, than you would to beat Vista, Sierra, Point, Murrieta, you know, one of these sort of like random word soups that we've got around Southern California. So I just love it because the kids get more up for those games. The crowds are better, obviously, when you have two teams locally. And in this year, where who knows what the crowd situation will be, who knows what the transportation situation will be, I think the closer to home you're staying, the more confident you feel that you'll be able to execute the plan.
There's some definite games to circle on all of these schedules. We can start with Milliken. Like we mentioned, they are staying local, playing St. Anthony, playing La Mirada. They're all going to go to Carlsbad, but I've got that last game of the season scheduled, 3-12. That's March 12th. Yes, you heard me right. It's Milliken and Wilson. I think that Milliken-Wilson game could be a real playoff decider when it comes down to the come down. That might be second place, third place, whatever it is. I think that one is going to be circled for a lot of people, obviously, on both of those schedules. And then Lakewood's got the craziness, like we talked to Mike Wadley about not having a field, or possibly not having a field for the majority of football season.
I've been doing the stories on these schedules, and I've talked to actually now all of the Moore League coaches as of today, and it's interesting. Everyone's been talking about Lakewood as a team they're really curious about, just because Scott Myers done such a good job as a coach. I think there's a consensus that Milliken is probably the second most talented team in the league behind Poly. Obviously, they've got multiple Division I guys, including kind of the top senior commit in the league in Xavier Staples this year. But everyone's really curious about Wilson because they're replacing so many guys, but they have been in a really stable spot at, you know, right up there near the top of the standings. So I'm real curious for all three of those teams when they play each other, that Milliken, Wilson, Lakewood games, of how those are going to shake out. And then we'll see if Compton or Jordan, I think especially, have got sort of the ability to make some noise there. Jordan definitely has some dudes, you know. I think that like a Jordan Lakewood game where you could potentially see one of those playoff teams slipping a little bit will be interesting. But the biggest thing we're going to have to keep track of is where these games are being played. You know, I mean, Lakewood's got home games in three or four different locations.
Yeah, Wilson's playing Lakewood in the last game of February. So that Wilson schedule at the end goes Lakewood, Mayfair, Milliken. So a very big close to the year for the Bruins. But yeah, that game on the 26th is at Lakewood, which will not be the case.
It's going to be at Milliken.
Right. And speaking
– like, very weird. They're going to have home games at Vets, at Milliken, and at Wilson this year.
Possibly, as Wadley said, possibly at Lakewood maybe before the construction gets going. So they might get that last game on their home field against Mayfair. And then, you know, for Milliken, they're opening DeHaven Stadium. So they're getting their first game at their new field.
Which looks beautiful, by the way.
It looks great. And they would be playing La Mirada on January 22nd. So that hopefully is the opener there. But, you know, I mean, it could be without fans. I mean, that's so much for pomp and circumstance. You know, I mean, you know, we hope to obviously be there to cover it. But it's just going to be with all the COVID stuff and then the construction and the delayed schedule. I mean, everything's just going to be so, so weird this year, and we're excited to see what happens.
But to just see two teams listed next to each other with a date next to it is, right. is really huge. It is new issue day today. We actually just saw the cross-country schedule for the Southern section here in the CIF released, and Long Beach State men's and women's basketball kind of know where they're going to be when it comes to the Big West Conference. Those things released today as well. You can read the whole story at the562.org right now. But they're getting creative with it. They're going to go back-to-back. So instead of Long Beach State men traveling to, let's say, up the 101 to take on UC Santa Barbara and Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, they would just stay home and play UC Santa Barbara on Friday night and Saturday night while the women go to UC Santa Barbara to play the Gauchos on Friday night and Saturday night. So they're doing the back-to-backs to, one, limit travel and having to stay overnight multiple nights, and two, that way, if there is a problem with transmitting COVID-19, you can kind of limit it, contact, trace it, and you're not going to have three teams involved. You would only have two teams involved. And they've also got a bye week mixed in there too so that they could shift the schedule around. Most interesting, though, they said in the release, there is no plan to reschedule games if a team is needed to be quarantined during the regular season. So you could see a team play less games than another team and actually finish ahead of them because of the tiebreakers that they have set up for this. So it's going to be kind of crazy dealing with any type of outbreak on any campus because they're still planning on sending 8 men's teams and 8 women's teams to Honda Center in March to play that Big West Conference tournament. Whether or not their fans are there, I don't know. I guess that's just going to have to be a wait-and-see situation.
And Long Beach State, the basketball program's opening up at the end of this year, hopefully, December 27th and 28th, both at UC Riverside for the men and at home against UC Riverside for the women. And they will be competing against what appears to be the worst logo in college sports at the moment. UCR, what are you doing?
I'd put it up against any of them, Tyler. You're absolutely right. One of them has U, C, and R mixed together so much that it looks like JJH. And then the third logo that they released is what I can only describe as a Scots-type map of California with a white spot where Riverside is. It's just not good, guys.
Yeah, it's like the state of California, but covered in knockoff Burberry, and then a large diamond of Riverside that's like trying to stretch a little too close to the ocean to make it seem like a destination. And it's just like, hey, listen, I hope they can keep their sports programs. I know they're going through financial struggles. Just don't put out logos that make us make fun of you. I don't take pleasure in this, but it's like, it's sort of a passion of mine and it's tough.
Yeah. The only way I would take pleasure in it if is Fullerton released the same thing. Then I'd actually enjoy it.
That would be toughy.
It either was in the oven at 350 degrees instead of 400, or it was in the oven for 10 minutes instead of 15 minutes. But one way or another, it is a very underbaked logo.
Man, I can't wait to make these jokes in the highlights, dude. I can't wait. All right, let's get out of here. That was a huge episode, and we're going to have another big one for you next week because we've got action. People are practicing, schedules are getting released, and you're going to get all that information right here each week at What Up Long Beach, the562.org, and Long Beach Post. So for Mike and for Tyler and for JJ and everybody else at all of those websites who helped get that information out to you, thank you, guys. Stay strong, Long Beach. Stay safe, and we will see you soon.